catch you up. When we left off last week, we left off where Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had taken the Lord's body down from the cross. Joseph of Arimathea laid the body of the Lord in his own tomb, a tomb that nobody had used yet. Nicodemus had brought 75 pounds of myrrh and aloe to anoint the Lord's body and wrap him in linens. And because they didn't wish to be unclean for the Passover, they went ahead and rolled the stone in front of the grave, and they left so that they could eat the Passover meal. And you might recall that the Pharisees and the chief priests were slightly upset, so they went to Pilate. And they said, "Pilate, we've got this dead guy we need to guard." And Pilate was more or less over them. And he said, "You have guards, go ahead, make the tomb as secure as you can make it." And so they did, they put guards out there. And you remember that they had to guard that tomb for 3 days. Because what the Pharisees and the chief priests were worried about is that the disciples would come, steal the body, and then tell everybody that Jesus was raised. And they thought that would be more of a headache than they had now. And that, of course, is where we left off last week. Now, 3 days have passed. 3 days. Wherein you've got a lot of sadness and a lot of confusion. But come Sunday morning, there is a violent earthquake, and an angel of the Lord came from heaven and rolled back the stone and sat on it, and the guards were afraid and they shook and they became like dead men. And this is one of the very few times in Scripture where you see an angel show up and he doesn't say, "Don't be afraid." You're laughing. The folks on the ground stayed there. Now, meanwhile, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome are bringing spices to anoint Jesus' body. And as they were going, they were talking among themselves about, "Well, how are we going to get that stone away from that tomb?" Well, when they got there, they saw that the stone was rolled away already. And the three of them entered the tomb, and there was a man in white sitting there, and they were alarmed. And he says to them, "Don't be alarmed." Now, there's a lot about this that's confusing, and quite frankly, the disciples stayed confused for much of Sunday. But they passed the soldiers on the way in. But the angel tells the ladies, "You don't need to be alarmed." But the soldiers are still laying there. They're not moving. The angel says to them, "You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. See the place where they laid him. Go and tell his disciples and tell Peter that he's going ahead of you into Galilee." Now, we're going to get into some more specifics later, but Galilee's a long way away. We're in Jerusalem. Now, while the three women were pondering what this man had said, two more men in startling white show up beside them. And they wore clothes that gleamed like lightning. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Don't you remember what he told you?" And then they remembered. And trembling and afraid, the women left the tomb and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Which, of course, seems like a reasonable reaction, but it's not what they were told to do. Mary of Magdala came running to Peter and John and she said, "They've taken our Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they put him." Which, again, is not exactly what the angel told her to say. So, Peter and John, who were a little taken aback, started a foot race to the tomb. Because clearly these women are confused. John was the faster runner, and he beat Peter to the tomb. And he felt the need to record that. "I won the race." John stands at the outside of the tomb and he's looking in and he sees the burial linens laying there. He sees the headpiece folded up separately and he's just sort of staring. Now Peter comes up sucking wind, but he's not stopping at the door. He barges right in. He's going right into the tomb and Peter's looking around. And then, John's like, he's going in, I'm going in. So they both went in. Now, Jesus appears to Mary first. And it seems a little difficult to discern exactly when he does this. But it seems that Mary goes back to the tomb and cries. And she sees that two of the angels are still there and they ask her, "Why are you crying?" And she replies, "They have taken my Lord and I don't know where they put him." And at this she turns around and she sees Jesus standing there. But of course she doesn't know it's Jesus yet. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it for whom you are searching?" And she mistook him for the gardener and asked, "If you have put him somewhere, tell me and I'll go get him." And then Jesus, looking at her, says, "Mary?" And we're not sure what opens her eyes, if it was the tone of Jesus' voice or where he was standing, but it's at this point that Mary recognizes her Lord. And he told her, "Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them." That would be the third time she's been told to go do that. Then Jesus appeared to the other women as well. And he said, "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee where they will see me." Now, Galilee is up here. Jerusalem is down here. As the crow flies, it's a 79-mile trip. Jesus is in Jerusalem, clearly. They're in Jerusalem, clearly. I want you to ponder that. "I'm going to meet you in Galilee." Now, while the women run to go tell the disciples the news, the guards have recovered enough to report to the chief priests. And when they reported what they had seen, the chief priests met with the elders and gave the soldiers a large sum of money to tell everyone they were guilty of a dereliction of duty because they fell asleep when they should have been on guard duty. And they were to tell everyone that the disciples came and stole the body while they were sleeping. And so the soldiers took the money and did what they were told. Soldiers are very good at that. But there are lots of holes in that story. And it's a short one. Here's the first one. If you were so sound asleep that you didn't recognize that folks came, how can you now swear that it was the disciples that came and rolled the stone away and took the body? There are other holes, but just ponder that. So, the women told the other disciples what had happened to them that morning, but the apostles and the others didn't believe them. And the scriptures tell us that the disciples didn't believe them because what they were saying sounded like nonsense. There's a long chain of unbelief here. The angels tell the women, "Your Lord is risen." What does Mary go do? Cries because they moved the body. That's not what the angel told you, sweetie. Now the three women are convinced that Jesus is risen. They go tell the disciples, "Jesus is risen." Yeah, whatever. They're not buying it. So, in the meanwhile, Jesus, he's continuing to be busy. He meets two fellers on the road to Emmaus. Now, one of them is named Cleopas. And as he approached them, neither of them recognized him. And the scripture tells us that they were kept from recognizing him. We don't know what that means. We don't know how that happened. But as they're walking along, Jesus is chatting with them, and they clearly don't know they're talking to Jesus. Cleopas tells Jesus that they were discussing the death of a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And then Jesus tells Cleopas and his companion how foolish they are because they don't understand scriptures. Now, if you just walked up to two fellows who were in the middle of a conversation Ask them what they're talking about, and they told you, and then your first opener is, holy cow, how foolish are you? It's generally speaking not going to win you a lot of points. But Jesus starts with Moses and explained to them what Scripture said to them about the Messiah. It's about a 7-mile trip to Emmaus. Okay? So he has a little while to talk. But if you go back as far as Moses, it takes a while. And then they get to where they're going, and he sits at the table with them, and he took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to them. Which are almost the exact same words that we read about the Lord's Supper. And their eyes were opened and they recognized Jesus. Why do you take the Lord's Supper? To remember the Lord. Interestingly enough, when Cleopas and his partner took the bread that Jesus gave them, what did they do? They remembered the Lord. But as soon as they recognize him, Jesus disappears. You have to wonder how many of these folks just grab their hearts and, what? This is not normal. So they got up right then and went back to Jerusalem. Now, some of you may remember that in this story, Jesus made as if he was going to go on. They said, no, no, it's too late at night for you to do that. Have supper with us. It's after supper. And the guys are like, nope, we can't stay here. We got to go back and tell everybody else. That was Jesus. No, 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 no. We can't keep that one. They get up from supper, and now they're going to take the 7-mile hike back to Jerusalem because they got something they need to say. Now, they found the disciples gathered together, and they listened to them exclaim that the Lord had risen and appeared to Peter. They're like, whoa, that sounds a lot like the story I was about to tell. And then the two told what happened to them. And while they were still talking, Jesus appears to them even though they're behind closed and locked doors. Now, when they acknowledged his presence, he said, peace be with you. We don't know how crowded this room is. But it takes a while for everybody to figure out that's Jesus. They were afraid he was a ghost. And he said, no, no, you can touch me. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones. And the disciples were still unbelieving. Now keep in mind, they've already had the women come and say, Jesus is risen. They've had Peter come and say, Jesus is risen. Cleopas is standing there saying, Jesus is risen. Now they got Jesus standing there saying, here I am. And they're still unbelieving. So while they're standing there still debating about whether or not this is Jesus, Jesus says, bring me some food. And they brought him broiled fish, and he ate it. And he told them, I told you about this while I was still with you. I told you I would raise again on the third day. And this is the point where the Scripture's rendition of that first Sunday ends. But the work isn't finished yet. Because, of course, Thomas hadn't been with everybody else when Jesus showed up. And when they all told him what they had seen, he said, well, unless I see his wounds and touch them, I won't believe it. And historically, Thomas has gotten a bad rap for that. But you know, the disciples were standing there with Jesus and didn't believe it. Thomas doesn't have the presence of the Lord. He has the word of all these fellers here. So, a week later, Jesus shows up again. And again, he shows up in the meeting behind closed and locked doors. And again, Jesus' first words are, peace be with you. Why would you say that to a group of folks? Clearly because they weren't peaceful. If somebody else had just shown up in your door behind which you'd already locked, it might upset you, Tad, too. Jesus goes to Thomas and he says, touch my wounds and look at me. Stop doubting and believe. And so Thomas believed because he had seen and because he had touched. And it's at this point that Jesus makes another reference to us. Remember last week we talked about Jesus praying for us? Jesus says, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's you. That's me. Our Lord has a long-term goal. And he's keeping that in mind as he's getting closer and closer to finishing his part of it. There doesn't appear to be any more contact with the disciples until they do what they're told. What were they told to do? Right? They were supposed to go back to Galilee, and they're still in Jerusalem. So eventually, they head back to Galilee. And what do they do? They go fishing once they get there. It was an 80-mile trip. Okay, might as well go back to work. Now, early in the morning, Jesus was standing on the shore, but they didn't recognize him, and he asked them, "Friends, don't you have any fish?" "No," they answered. "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." Now, the scripture tells us they're not any more than 100 yards from shore. They're in shallow water. "Throw your net on the right side." And they did, and they were unable to get the net into the boat because the number of fish was so great. And it's at this point that John recognizes the Lord. This story has been repeated for the second time now. This happened at the beginning of Jesus' ministry too. Remember that? Peter jumps into the water and he's going to the shore because he's like, "That's my Lord. I don't need the fish. There's my Lord, I'm going." And he leaves John and his partners and the boat and the fish, and he leaves them struggling. He's headed to shore. When they landed, everybody lands. They find out that Jesus had a fire. He had fish cooked. He'd already baked bread. And Jesus says, "Bring me some of those fish that you just caught." Peter jumps into the boat and brings the entire net ashore, apparently by himself. The scripture says there are 153 large fish in that net. Now, this picture is of a fellow who's actually fishing in the Sea of Galilee. You see how big that fish is? Imagine 153 of those and the nets didn't break. Jesus tells them, "Y'all come sit down and eat." So he fed the disciples the bread and the fish. And this, of course, was the third time that Jesus has shown up to them. And when they finished eating, Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" And I'm going to speculate for just a minute here. Peter is sitting there next to his boat. He's sitting there next to an overflowing net with some of the biggest fish he's caught in his life. This is a good haul. He's going to make a lot of money on this haul. Jesus said, "Do you love me more than these?" Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus replies, "Feed my lambs." And again, Jesus asked, "Simon, son of John." Now, see, that was the name he went by before Jesus renamed him. "Do you truly love me?" And Peter answers, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus replies, "Take care of my sheep." And so Jesus asks for a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And the scripture says that Peter's feelings were hurt by this point because Jesus had asked him the third time. But Peter persists. And he said, "Lord, you know all things." Now, this is the same Peter who, when Jesus said, "You're going to deny me." "Not me, Lord. I'm going to die before I do that." And they shared a very unpleasant moment that night. Peter says, "You know all things. And you know that I love you, Lord." And Jesus says, feed my sheep. And then Jesus tells Peter, Peter, when you get old, someone else will dress you, and someone will lead you where you do not want to go. But Jesus said, follow me, Peter. And you gotta love Peter. Peter turns around, looks at John, and says, what about him? They just had this moment, the best thing Peter can do, what about him? Peter says, what is he to you? I just told you to follow me. What happens to him is not your concern. At this point, Jesus gives his disciples the Great Commission, and he tells them, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus' work on earth is done. Theirs is just starting. He also tells them that whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And then he opened their minds so that they could understand Scripture. And this is what was written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Now, see, here's the odd thing. When he says stay in the city, they're back in Jerusalem. That's a 158-mile round trip from Jerusalem to Galilee, back to Jerusalem. Do you suppose the Lord sent him on that as a goose chase? I'm thinking not. What are they doing on that trip? That's right, they're talking to each other. They're trying to figure this out. They have the Scriptures. They have what the Lord has told them. And Jesus has given them the time to figure it out. So then he takes them out to the vicinity of Bethany. Now Bethany is about a mile and a half from Jerusalem. Down here, here's Jerusalem, here's Bethany. Way up there is where they started in Galilee. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And he told them again, you are going to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And as he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And while they were still looking up, suddenly two men dressed in white stood by them. Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking in the sky? We don't know what the time span here is. We don't know how long they've been standing there. Apparently long enough that the Lord felt the need to send somebody to tell them to move on. But they did. And the Scripture tells us that they went home joyful. They knew that the Lord had risen from the grave. They had ascended to heaven to be with His heavenly Father. And they went home and joined it joyfully in prayer. Bow with me, please. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this story that You've left for us about Jesus, His obedience, His love for You, His love for us. We thank You, Lord, for that. We thank You for His death on the cross that gives us salvation, Father. We'd ask that You would be with all of us and help us to appreciate the sacrifice that both You and our Lord and Savior made. Help us to be joyful in You, Father. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. John tells us in his gospel as he's closing up, you know, Jesus did a lot of other things that we didn't write down. What we wrote down, we wrote so that you could believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. This morning, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you haven't done anything about that, you can come forward and I'll be happy to arrange more time to talk with you about that. Or if you're ready for baptism, that can be arranged this morning as well. If you have needs with which the corporate body can help, come forward now as together we stand and as together we sing.